For decades, scientists and parents have held on to the hunch that there is a genetic link between prodigy and autism. Now, Dr. Joanne Ruthsatz, a leading expert on child prodigies, explores how studying child prodigies might advance our understanding of autism. In her new book, The Prodigy's Cousin, The Family Link Between Autism and Extraordinary Talent, Ruthsatz and her daughter, reporter Kimberly Stevens, strive to explain the puzzling connection between talent and disability. Drawing on years of original behavior and neurological research, Ruthsatz and Stevens delve into the lives of more than 30 child prodigies. Again, the title of the book is The Prodigy's Cousin, and we welcome Joanne Ruthsatz and Kimberly Stevens to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure to have you both on the program.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Very nice to have you here. Dr. Ruthsatz, let's begin with you on how this particular book came to be and what ultimately you wanted to accomplish with it.
Well, actually, I had no idea about writing a book. I was contacted after I did a talk in New York by two agents on the same day, and they said, there's a book in there, and we want you to write it. And I said, I really don't have time to write it, but I know somebody that does. And they said, who? And I said, my daughter. And they said, oh, no, we don't do mother-daughter teens. I said, well, let me send you some of her work. And she had written a preliminary book the year before, and I sent that out to them, and then they said, you're right, she can write, she can do it. So that's how it came to be.
So, Kimberly, what is it like to try to look at this particular subject, which is very complex, try to work with your mother in trying to figure out some of that complexity and ultimately get to the heart of the subject?
It was exciting. You know, I had, you know, obviously been in tune with her research journey as it was happening. But to have the chance to really, you know, flesh out the kids' stories and get into the science a little bit with her was really awesome, because I think the mystery of how can a kid, you know, compose basically from the car seat is so intriguing. You know, how can you not want to investigate that?
You look at years of neurological and behavioral research. Dr. Ruthsatz, what is it, for a baseline knowledge, what should we know about this talent and ultimately what even to call it? As the title of the book is The Prodigy's Cousin, The Family Link Between Autism and Extraordinary Talent. Do we even have a name for what it is?
Well, prodigies are children before adolescence who reach a professional status in a very demanding field. Individuals with autism are people who have challenges in social skills and communication and repetitive behaviors with a narrow range of interest. Now, it may sound like they're worlds apart, but actually the child prodigies have very similar attributes behaviorally to individuals with autism. They have a repetitive behaviors, a rage to master. They have extraordinary memories, as individuals with autism often do. They have attention to detail, with which individuals with autism often have. And so we see that there's overlap behaviorally, and then we did a DNA study where we showed preliminary evidence that they share a genetic mutation on chromosome 1 with their autistic relatives. The child prodigies do, but not their neurotypical relatives.
There are more than 30 wives, 30 prodigies, child prodigies that you look at in the book. What ultimately were you looking for, Kimberly, in putting these particular children together?
You know, I think that even though these kids have this, you know, a lot in common in terms of this really explosive talent, you know, their stories, I think, were actually very different in some ways in both the kids' trajectory and in the family life. So, you know, I kind of tried to use different stories to illustrate different points. And I think, to give you an example, you know, one of the really interesting things that my mom has found is that, you know, these kids do have these commonalities in terms of the memory and the attention to detail and the passion. But it turns out that the kids also have cognitive differences according to specialty. So, you know, the musicians are different than the artists, are different than the science kids. And one story that I thought illustrated that really well was Autumn DeForest, an art prodigy. her dad is a musician. You know, he composes, he plays drums. They introduced her to piano lessons around the time she was 4. And her parents thought she had great rhythm. They thought, you know, maybe there's really a career here for her. And when Autumn talks about it, you know, she's a totally willing student. It was fun. But it wasn't until she discovered painting when she was 5 that something really clicked for her. And all of a sudden, she's not just taking lessons every day after kindergarten. She's painting for hours. She's buying books about artists and just like soaking in the images. And by the time she's 7, she's showing her work and selling it. And I think that really speaks to how these kids don't come to their specialty by accident.
I guess I wanted to ask you about her story because it's fascinating. She's 9 years old and her paintings are sold for tens of thousands of dollars. How much of that is because of the uniqueness of the situation and how much of it is because of the talent of the artistry that she's representing?
Well, I think she's tremendously talented, but you know, I don't think I could really assess the art market.
I guess that's why I'm asking the question is because in that case it is subjective, isn't it?
Well, it's also an investment.
So, because it's easier, you have a story of a young man by the name of Zach Thiessen, who hit his head at 13, and he wakes up as a full-blown music prodigy. That's easier to track, right? That there wasn't extraordinary talent, and then there is extraordinary talent.
Yes.
Give us a sense of his story and what we learn from it.
So, Zach's story is fascinating. He's the younger brother, actually, of Josh, who was an art prodigy and had always been, you know, very talented at art, very driven to create. And Zach had grown up, you know, his typical little brother. He was a rambunctious kid. You know, he was very active, very social. He loved to play ping pong with friends until one day he was 13 and he was at a youth group meeting. And afterwards, he and his friends were sort of horsing around. They were jumping over some boxes, and Zach decided to dive headfirst. He did, and he smacked his head against the church floor and got a concussion. And when he woke up, he was different. You know, he was quieter. He was more serious. And at first, his parents sort of thought, well, you know, maybe this injury really got through to him, and he sees that you should be a little more cautious. And within 2 weeks, a family friend brought a guitar over to their house, and it was like lightning. You know, Zach took it. He started strumming. He could not learn the guitar fast enough. You know, he's asking his mom to teach him songs. He's learning the most complicated, fastest pieces he can and performing them. He begins composing. And, you know, now he's been featured on Guitar World a couple times. It just, this rage to master really kicked in for him after that injury.
Joanne, how easy is it to explain the nature of those injuries and the long-standing implications of such an injury?
Well, the long-standing implications is where our basically left hemisphere dominant. So if you have an injury and you have this de novo mutation that his brother obviously has because he is a prodigy, and you lose the integrity of your left hemisphere, your right hemisphere is allowed to produce progenitor work. And I think he's not the only case. There have been other cases where people have acquired a head injury on the left side and woke up as piano prodigies. There's also a study of 12 individuals with dementia on the left side in the temporal lobe that have developed as artists in their late years because they are losing parts of their left hemisphere. It's a very specific part. And so that in itself is just fascinating, that losing the left dominance unleashes the right hemisphere to its creative abilities.
I want to ask you about one more of the children that you feature in the book. That is Jacob Barnett, who has a gift for physics and astronomy. He goes into college at the age of 11. Kimberly, tell us a little bit about his story and what makes Jacob's story so unusual.
Yeah, so Jacob is a particularly intriguing case, I think. You know, you do see in him all of these traits, the extreme memory, the attention to detail, the passion. You know, his mom has these great stories. He's very into space and physics, that when he, I think around the time he was 3, she couldn't take him to the library anymore because he would immediately seek out books about the planets and if they didn't represent Pluto as appropriately far away from the sun as it should be, you would tear the page out and move it, you know, further away. So they were kind of not terribly welcome in the library for a while. But his case, in addition to all those common traits, is sort of particularly interesting because Jacob had an autism diagnosis himself as a young child. And sort of gradually, he actually was speaking and lost his, you know, he stopped speaking. He stopped wanting to engage with his family and the kids around him. And so he was diagnosed, I think, at 16 months and again around the time he was 2 or 3, but has actually come out of it, which has sort of only recently become a scientifically accepted thing that could happen in autism. And now, as you said, you know, he started taking college courses at 8, and he's already in a PhD program in Canada, at, which I think he started when he was 15.
As we wrap up our conversation, Joanne, let me end with you as to the question which you end your book with in the epilogue. What happens to these kids when they grow up? How, quote unquote, normal can a child like this be as they age?
As they age, I think their life becomes easier because people who are musicians go into the orchestra. The orchestra is filled with child prodigies, and people have caught up with their expertise, or at least are on the same playing ground as the older child prodigy. I have over 30. None of them have crashed and burned. We've been following for 18 years. My very first one was just up for a national award. He's in his early 20s now, and he was 6 when I got him. So at this point in time, it looks like they have very prolific and successful lives, but only time will tell.
And as the subtitle of the book indicates, the family link between autism and extraordinary talent. We know a lot, but there's still a lot we don't know when it comes to that family link, isn't there?
Yes, exactly.
The name of the book is The Prodigy's Cousin. It is published by Current. Joanne Ruthsatz and Kimberly Stevens, a great pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you very much for sharing with us.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Great pleasure. Thank you. Again, the name of the book is The Prodigy's Cousin, The Family Link Between Autism and Extraordinary Talent. It is published by Current. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.